It's time now for Spears on Sports with John Spears, presented by M&M Carnage. And now, here's Johnny.
I hope you had a great weekend. Welcome in, Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Carnage. I had a nice long weekend. John Spears in studio, Scooter Dingus, manning the producer's chair. Good morning, Scooch. Good afternoon, Scooch.
I was about to say good afternoon, John.
It is Monday, March 25th. Easter is Sunday, and my tax person appointment is tonight.
Whoa. Ugh. You're knocking it all out.
Ugh. I got to go all the way to Prospect for that.
Are they easy?
Yeah, they're easy. I'm retired.
Why don't you do them yourself?
Simple. You know, when you get in the habit of having a certain person for years and years and years, and your wife tells you that's what you're going to do, then that's what you're going to do.
Hmm. Seems like she could
get married. You'll figure that out.
Seems like she could be the tax person.
She could. She doesn't want to.
Hmm.
M&M Carnage Hotline's open, 384-1450, 384-1450, to join in on the conversation. Thornton's text line open as well. You can text the show, 502-414-1450. Just tell me what's on your mind. You need to vent? Vent. Go ahead and vent. Got a problem with your bracket? Guess what? So does everybody else.
Right.
You can sign up for Thornton's Refreshing Rewards. Receive 25% off per gallon, plus great weekly fuel offers that you can't pass up. Download the app at the App Store or on Google Play today. Still all fountain drinks and fizz freeze, 89 cents, 32 ounces or smaller at all area Thornton's locations. Enjoy your favorite fountain drink or a cold, delicious fizz freeze for just 89 cents. And again, I get here, there is no chicken and waffle breakfast burrito on my desk.
Oh, I forgot.
Not that I have a desk, but on my table.
I forgot about you today.
Check out Thornton's new chicken and waffle breakfast burrito every morning. It's available at all participating Thornton's locations. Classic comfort food of the kick featuring Mike's Honey Hot Honey or Honey Hot. Yeah, I don't read these ahead of time. Why should I? But hit me up on the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. How's your bracket, Scoots?
Busted.
How many of the 16 do you have left?
I want to say 8 or 9.
I got 9.
Yeah.
I got 9. And you know what? We should have more because it's chalky.
Very chalky.
If you took the top 8 seeds, you'd have at least 8. I say this every year. Round 1 is March Madness. Round 1 is March Madness. Oakland over Kentucky. Duquesne over BYU. Yale over Auburn. You never know. And it's great. It is theater from noon to midnight. In these cases, later than midnight. But round 2 is where we get back to normal. We get back to normal in round 2. Now, there's an 11 seed left, right? There's an 11 seed, North Carolina State. There's a 6 seed, Clemson.
I mean, did we ever really even get away from normal with this tournament?
Yes. Kentucky losing to Oakland was abnormal. Yale losing to Auburn was abnormal.
Auburn losing to Yale.
Yeah. Or Auburn losing to Yale. Duquesne, I know I have a love affair with BYU, but that was the surprise.
I mean, we didn't really get all that many upsets, though. I mean, other than, like, the Grand Canyon and James Madison.
But Colorado, Florida was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The double overtime Creighton, Oregon game, so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Round 2 is about hold your horses, upstarts. Thanks for playing. We're happy that you won a game. But look, Oakland got to overtime against NC State.
That game was so fun.
But keep in mind, it was an 11 and a 14. It wasn't a 14 against a 6 here.
Right.
Which it could have been. Or, yeah, Texas Tech was a 5 or a 6, whatever they were. Michigan State, 9 seed, loses by 20, I can't do math here, 16. Grand Canyon loses by 11. Oregon, I know it went double overtime, but they lose by 13. Utah State loses by 39. Duquesne loses by 26.
Northwestern,
Yale,
17.
Yale loses by 28. Colorado, close game, but they lose to Marquette. James Madison loses by 38. So we're back to normal. We've got all 4 number 1 seeds. All 4 number 2 seeds in the final, in the Sweet 16.
2 of the 3 seeds.
The average margin of victory in this tournament, can you guess? Average margin of victory.
Let's go 15 and a half.
15.4.
Wow.
Wow. Tell me you cheated.
I did not cheat.
15.4, that is the highest margin of victory average since 1985.
Jeez.
So there have been blowouts. Standalone games have not been good. Arizona-Dayton, I know it only finished a 10-point game. It was not a good standalone game. Purdue and Utah State.
Horrible.
In no other game to watch. Terrible.
I might. 106
to 67.
I might have a confession, John.
Yeah.
I might be.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, my God.
I might be ready to concede Purdue.
Oh, no. I'm so screwed.
Yeah. I mean, they just look so good.
They did. But again, how good is the Mountain West? How good is Utah State?
True.
The Mountain West had six teams in. They got one left. San Diego State, who looked good last night. I got to admit, I watched that whole game because I want cash. Money, a little green's my favorite color. They look good, but they got one team left.
Now, does that attest to what Dan Hurley was saying earlier this week about how there should have been more Big East teams in? Because they're all 6-0 combined, the three that are in.
They are, but you keep this in mind. They are 1, 2, and 3 seeds. They're supposed to be 6-0.
Mm-hmm.
All right? They're supposed to be 6-0. Now, if you put Seton Hall in as a 10 seed, because they would have been one of the last teams in, and they lose, all of a sudden you're 6-1 or you're 7-1, and it's not as awesome. It's easy to take the top three teams in each conference, make them 1, 2, and 3, and then crow about being 6-0.
That's true.
I mean, look at the team. UConn beat Stetson and Northwestern. Marquette beat Western Kentucky and Colorado. And who's one I'm leaving out here?
Creighton.
Creighton beat Akron and Oregon, who was an 11 seed, by the way. Crow all you want, Danny. You can. Now, don't complain. He's complaining also. We're the number one overall seed, and we got put in the hardest bracket. We got the Big 12 champ, Iowa State. We got the Big 10 champ, Illinois. We got the SEC champ, Auburn, in our bracket. We got screwed. You get to go to Boston.
Man, I just...
You get to go to Boston,
just did
Danny.
Some quick math. Out of all three of the Big East teams, out of the teams they've played, both teams add up to a 25.
Yeah.
Weird, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they haven't played any
kind of like you guessing 15 and a half. Weird. Weird. So, who is left? Who's the best team left? I thought it was Houston, and then I watched last night. Look, A&M, I know you were wrong on A&M Nebraska.
Very wrong.
A&M's good. Wade Taylor couldn't throw in the ocean the first half. He had 1 point, and that game goes to overtime. Four Houston players fouled out.
Mm-hmm.
It was 1987. Texas El Paso won a tournament game with four players fouling out. And the Shed took over in overtime. He willed that team to victory because when they got to overtime, and then when Sharp fouled out early in overtime, I thought, they're not winning this game. Give Buzz Williams credit. They were down 10 with 2.5 minutes to go. Got it to overtime. That's why this tournament's great.
Mm-hmm.
So my question was going to be to you, is this been a good tournament, great tournament, or a so-so tournament?
I'd say good tournament. Yeah, I mean,
I'm not going to go great.
But I'll be the first to tell you that if you were to tell me a week from now that the tournament's great, I wouldn't bat an eye at that because we've got some fantastic Sweet 16 matchups.
We do. And why are they fantastic? Because the higher seeds held serve, except for NC State.
Which we never get this, right?
I mean, we rarely get it.
Every year I feel like there's a 14 or a 13 or a 12 in Sweet 16.
I think 5 years since all four number ones advanced to the Sweet 16.
Wow.
It's been longer than that, a lot longer since all top eight seeds advanced.
Yeah, I mean, there's an 11 seed in the Sweet 16. Everybody else is a 5 or less, or 6 or less.
Texter says, I'm still doing good. 13 of 16 Sweet 16, 7 of 8 Elite 8.
Wow.
Well,
that is good.
That's awesome. Yeah. But if you got 1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2 in the Elite Eight, you should have all eight of them.
Yeah. Took a flyer on somebody.
Well, you have to. The tournament tells you there's going to be somebody, and it's NC State. Now, we don't think of NC State as a Cinderella because they're in the ACC. But they won 5 games in 5 days, which nobody does. It only had been done one other time. And now they've beaten 2 teams seated higher than them. Texture says...
No, they Oakland was lower.
Oh, yeah, Oakland was lower. I'll take it back. Texture says my bracket is sitting perfect.
Yeah. You're that one person? I think I saw yesterday there's one perfect bracket left.
That's a long text, but I got to have fun reading it. John, will you and your talking heads ever learn, you and I have been down this road many times before, will you ever learn that the SEC is trash? All right. If it was just UK getting bounced, I can understand that, but when all your top seeds, other than Tennessee and Alabama, you didn't write that down, who barely won, get bounced on the first day, that's not an anomaly. Even though the ACC got no respect, by the way, A&M was not bounced on the first day. Even though the ACC got no respect as usual, in spite of the terrible seeds, 4 out of 5 get in the Sweet 16, that's not an anomaly. The couple of rummies, I don't know what that means. The SEC got in, will get bounced next weekend. Same thing happened last year. Wake up and open your closed mind. The proof is in the pudding. The ACC has a team in the national championship 4 out of the last 5 years. The SEC hasn't even had a team in the Elite Eight in 5 years. I'd have to do research to know if that's accurate. And no championship since Kentucky 12 years ago. Please stop with this bogus narrative. Even Scoots knew the SEC got way more respect than they deserve. Man, Scoots are always getting more love than me. The ACC is far better than the weak SEC. Other than Kentucky, they all play bunny schedules. They beat no one in the quad one other than another weak blank SEC team. So they all go down early in spite of all the Joe Lunardi bullcrap. I like bullcrap. That's good use of words. He got the top 4 seeds right, and then the rest is just a cluster. I think you know the rest of it. And it always is when the last time Lunardi picked a winner, question mark, never. It's not a surprise that 25% of the Sweet 16 is the ACC. All right. And that's why he says my bracket is still perfect. Also, same texter, Houston's very overrated. They won't get past Duke. I'm be willing to put a little coin on that. In fact, I will, because I think Houston got their scare yesterday. They are really good. Who's the number one team left? Is it Connecticut?
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. For me, it is UConn.
And that was a long text, wasn't it?
It was a long text, yeah. No, it is UConn for me, but admittedly, Houston with that game last night took a step back for me. So they're now at my number 4 spot.
So, 4?
Yeah, they're at number 4 for me.
You're putting them behind Carolina, I'm guessing.
No.
No, you're putting them behind. Wait a minute, Iowa State, because Iowa State killed them?
Nope.
Well, hell, I'm lost. Marquette?
I'm going UConn.
You're going Creighton.
Purdue.
Yep.
Arizona.
Arizona.
Then Houston.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The Pac-12, who, by the way, only has one team left. Speaking of the Pac-12, Stanford's got a new coach. I know Stanford's going to the ACC, which is kind of weird to say out loud, but Kyle Smith, Washington State,
wow,
going to Stanford.
He didn't want to stay in the Pac-2?
I guess he said, you know what? I don't want to play Oregon State 14 times next year, so I'm going to go to a former Pac-12 school, Stanford. Also, Danny Sprinkle, it is now widely believed, Utah State's coach, will be the next head man at the University of Washington. Which I think is a future Big Ten school.
It is.
So Danny Sprinkle to Washington. Look, Card's got to find a coach here.
What'd you make of
Dusty May spurns the Cards. It was, if you're a Cardinal fan, I get it. It's hurtful, right? It's like we're negotiating in good faith. Everything seems to be going the right way. I'm going to go to Michigan now. Change my mind. Change my mind is a fun thing. I changed my mind. No, you didn't change your mind. Your agent made you change your mind. Your wife made you change your mind. Your kids made you change your mind. Something you didn't just change your mind. And I will say, with all due respect to the last texter, if you're going to go to the Big Ten or the ACC right now, you're going to the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Kyle Smith got out of Washington State because you're going to get out of the Pac-12 or Pac-2.
Hadn't he been there for a while, too?
I can't answer that with any certainty. But you're going to get out. If you're going to go to the Big Ten or you're going to go to the ACC, you have to factor in the fact that Florida State and Clemson have already sued the ACC trying to get out. What is the ACC going to be 4 or 5 years from now?
I don't know if anybody knows.
We don't know. We don't know. If they're smart, and I'm not sure they are, they will try to get some teams into their conference that aren't named Stanford and California and SMU. Because that ain't turning the needle up at all. And I think Dusty May's people told him, by the way, he's only going to make $3.5 million a year in Michigan, which blew my mind. But his people, it appears to me, said to him, look, do you want to go to Louisville where Florida State's going to be gone, Clemson's going to be gone, football rules everything, we know that, and or you go to Michigan where football rules everything, that's okay. You're a smaller fish, all you got to do is win a little bit. You don't have to win national championships, just got to win a little bit.
Lower expectations.
Much lower expectations. Even though there probably shouldn't be, the way Louisville's played the last few years, here's my advice to Josh Hurd. Get who you can get. Because it appears nobody's really high on taking this job right now. I saw a report from Jeff Goodman today that the top three candidates now for the Louisville job, and this is Jeff Goodman of from the Field of 68. This was on Sports Illustrated's website, by the way. Seton Hall's Shaheen Holloway. You know him from St. Peter's when he beat Kentucky a couple years ago.
That'd be my number one choice.
College of Charleston's Pat Kelsey. He's been great at the College of Charleston. And South Florida's Amir Abdur-Rahim, who was great at Kennesaw State in Bellarmine's League, moved up to South Florida this year and really put them on the map. They had a great year. Though, if those are your three choices, then your choices are limited.
Yeah,
your choices are limited. And you can say we tried to get Scott Drew, and you can say we thought we had Dusty May. Dusty May, Florida Atlantic. I mean, how big is that anyway?
Yeah.
But you're not going to get Bruce Pearl, and you're not going to get any of these Power Five conference coaches.
Except maybe Mick Cronin.
Except maybe Mick Cronin.
Or Jerome Tang.
Mick Cronin would be the biggest name you could get, but that's not important. Mm-hmm. Mick Cronin UCLA went to a Final Four out of the first four 1 year under Mick Cronin. Went to the championship game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
That's great. What have you done for me lately? Because we know all these coaching hires are what have you done for me lately. If Washington State doesn't get to the tournament after being picked to finish in the bottom half of the Pac-12, he's not at Stanford today. Right? If Florida Atlantic doesn't go to the Final Four this year and get back to the tournament this year, Dusty May's not at Michigan. What have you done for me lately? And these three names, Shaheen Holloway had a good year at Seton Hall. He's beaten Connecticut twice since he's been there. College of Charleston, Pat Kelsey, in the tournament again, last several years, been really, really good. Amir Abdur-Rahim, if South Florida is 13-13, his name is not on this list. So it's what have you done for me lately?
Well, they didn't even make the tournament, did they?
No, they're in the NIT. And Josh Hurd has to get down and dirty here and say, look, we're just going to get a young guy who's energetic, and hopefully he can rally the fan base and get some players in here and get some wins. That's it. All right. I've railed too much. We'll take a break. Coach Cal's status at Kentucky. Come on, folks. Why are we even discussing this? We'll talk about that on the other side. Spears on Sports. Presented by M&M Cartage and the Big X. Welcome back. Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage. John Spears in studio. Scooter Dingus on the other side of the concrete. M&M Cartage Hotline's open, 502-384-1450, 384-1450 to join in on the conversation. Thornton's text line open as well, 502-414-1450. Mike James is now in the transfer portal.
Who?
Cardinal Mike James. He is the eighth Louisville player to go into the portal. Why don't we just put everybody on every team in the portal?
Yeah, I agree.
It's free agency. That's all we have now.
Yep.
There are no contracts. It's all about, you know what, if I didn't play enough, I got to get on the portal. And here's the thing. No, I don't know if anybody's done this yet, Scoots, but the portal opened on Monday last week, last Monday.
Mm-hmm.
You could be in the tournament and put your name in the portal and still play for the team you're playing for.
That's one way to get some bad will toward your coach.
What if you're not playing and you put your name in the portal on Monday, and then on Thursday in the first round of the NCAA tournament, the guy gets hurt on your team and they put you in and you go for 24-8. And you know what? And then you're playing the team that you want to go to next year. And you get the start because the guy's still injured. You played great. Do you pull out of the portal, pull yourself out of that portal? Do you say, I'm going to try to beat this team before I join them? They got to change this rule.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Let's go to the M&M Cartage Hotline. David, how are you on this Monday?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call as always.
Yep.
I mean, something else, and I know y'all haven't mentioned it yet or whatever, but even U of L women's team out the first day of the tournament, too. I mean, the Middle Tennessee, it started out really good for the Cardinal women, but I don't know if it's just down the stretch of the women's season when it got to the tougher conference games that it seemed like they had some troubles, especially on the road and a couple of home games that they – but they were really doing well starting the conference season, the women's team, but it just seemed like, just when they had that, top seed and top position in the conference, for a little bit, and I was, watching ACC Network, and they were talking about they thought that, Jeff Wall and Louisville women were going to be a real, player in the, the ACC. And down the stretch, it seemed like they tightened up or something, I guess maybe the players that Jeff Wall brought in this year were, I don't know, when it's saying when you have to, winning at the level, but they had some good players on the women's team this year.
They did, and a lot of them. Thanks for the call, David. And a lot of them will be back next year. But goodbye, David. But look, everybody was looking forward to that Haley Van Lith LSU matchup. I mean, we were looking forward to it, Scoots.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't look forward to anything in women's basketball, to be quite frank about it. I'm much more interested in the men's tournament. Yeah, I know Indiana plays tonight. You'll be watching that one. ESPN2.
That's right.
I do know that.
6:30, baby.
Who do they play?
Oklahoma.
That should be a good game, actually.
Should be awesome, yeah.
Can I get a line on that? Because if I can get a line on it, I'll bet it.
Yeah,
and then I'll watch it.
You can get a line on it. I don't know what it is.
I try to watch everything I bet.
It's hard to do. You bet a lot.
But as far as Louisville women are concerned, I don't even know if it was a disappointing year. Jeff Walsh said it was one of the most fun years he ever had. I think part of that was he got rid of a couple of players, or he let a couple of players leave that he didn't get along with. And you won't hear him say that, but that's when you have more fun with your team, it's with players that you get along with, right? But the loss to Middle Tennessee State, yes, that's a pretty major upset. They had a lead early in the game, let it slip away, and then you miss out the matchup against LSU. And Kim Mulkey, who, by the way, is in the news again, that would have been fun. That would have been fun.
By the way, Indiana's 8.5.
Oh, you found a number for me. Thank you. Yeah. That's what I needed. Something else to bet on. I got NBA tonight. I don't need to bet on college.
You could take Indiana 8.5 and Iowa 15. Call today.
Caitlin. Who's Caitlin playing tonight?
West Virginia.
That's a 1-8 matchup, I'm guessing.
1-8, yep.
Yeah, see? I know what I'm doing. I just didn't jump off the turnip.
By the way, speaking of West Virginia, they just hired a coach, right? Who'd they hire?
That's a great question. Again, when I'm off on Friday, I don't do any research.
Oh, this was last night.
I don't do any research. Over the whole weekend, I mean. I don't do any research. I got up this morning, I was like, I need to write down here. I need to write a few things down. Here's what I wrote down.
Oh, they hired DeVries from Drake.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, that's who it
last
was.
Night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did miss that one. So Louisville has known for, what, 3 months that they need a new coach, and mm-hmm. they're going to be the last ones to hire somebody, it appears?
Yep.
Now, maybe there's something we don't know. I think Josh Hurd is the kind of guy that keeps everything close to the vest. I do. I don't think he's like Mitch Barnhart in that aspect. He's not going to talk about it. He had his press conference. He told you what he was looking for. I want a coach who wants to be here, blah, 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 all that AD speak. I thought he did a great job. He answered questions for 30 minutes, and we haven't heard a peep from him since because that's who he is. He is going to be that way. Maybe he's got somebody on one of these final 16 teams that he thinks is going to take the job. Brad Underwood. I like that one. TJ Otzelberger.
Love that.
I know you like that one. By the way, he's one of the finalists for the Naismith Coach of the Year Award.
As he should be.
Kelvin Sampson, Danny Hurley, TJ Otzelberger, and Lamont Paris of South Carolina.
Wow. Good for Lamont.
There's your final four on that one.
Surely it'll be Hurley or
I mean, I don't know.
Sampson, right?
Who knows? But, you know, I would think it'd be that's a tough one. That's a tough one. They both had great years. Hurley didn't win it last year, did he? If he didn't win it last year, then I'd say it'll be Hurley.
I don't know. He won the championship last year. I know, so you're coming into this season with expectations.
But those are sometimes that's harder.
Whereas Iowa State, if you told them at the beginning of the year they were going to be a two seed.
You're right. Maybe Matt Painter wants to come to Louisville.
Please, Matt Painter. Please.
You just want him out of West Lafayette, out of the state of Indiana.
Although he'll bring all the best Indiana recruits to Louisville.
Maybe
so.
Bill Self wants to come to Louisville. I'm just looking at some of these teams still going here. I heard McDermott yesterday, Greg McDermott.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. He just got an extension at Creighton. He ain't going anywhere. I don't think they want, maybe Rick Barnes. Who knows? Maybe Rick Barnes. No, Rick Barnes ain't going anywhere. Come on. Come on, John. Buzz Williams. How about they're on the phone with Buzz Williams
today? There you go.
I would love that.
I would, too, if he shaved his head again.
Doesn't matter. Love Buzz Williams. That dude can coach, man.
Not big on the Buzz Williams with hair. Same thing with Shaka Smart, actually.
It really has to do with what they look like.
Yeah, they both need to go back bald.
All right, so there's another show, and I don't want you changing the channel, that is on the same time we're on here. That the host just said Louisville fans were sending Dusty May death threats, and that was one of the reasons he decided to not come.
I mean, aren't they going to do that to any potential coach?
I hope that's not true. Why? Why would you do that?
Right.
Are you that rabid of a fan that the choice of a coach? Look, they got Kenny Payne. I don't care. I know this is dumb to say. It's going to be an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to win more than 12 games over the next 2 years. I don't care who the coach is. Holloway, Dusty, it doesn't matter. Death threats? Really? Now, I don't know that that's true. This is a business built on clicks, right? Mm-hmm. What can I say that it's going to get the fan base stirred up? You know I'm not like that. And even if it is, let's say it's true that there have been one or two crazy, unbalanced people that sent Dusty May a death threat. Why are you promoting it on your radio show? Come on. Be better than that. It's gotten to the point where Eric Crawford's tweeting about it. Other people are tweeting about it. So I know it. I wouldn't have said anything until I thought, you know what? If Eric Crawford says this is going on, then I'm going to go with it. If that's true. Shame on you, crazy Cardinal fan, whoever sure. you – if there's one of you, whoever you may be, shame on you. All right. Kentucky, who's the replacement? That's my only question. Because you better know, right? If you're Mitch Barnhart, you better know who it's going to be. I know the fan base is outraged. I get it. The nation is, oh, my gosh, look what he's done in the last – fill in the blank number of years. You lose to St. Peter's. You lose to Kansas State in the round of 32. You don't go to the tournament 1 year, then you lose to Oakland and not the Raiders, not the Athletics, right? Not the Golden State Warriors. You lost to the Oakland Golden Grizzlies and the insurance salesman who hit 10 three-pointers on you. I know you're upset. I know. I get it. Where are you going to go? Who are you going to get? Who are you going to pay Cal $33 million to go get another coach?
Not a lump sum, by the way.
Doesn't matter. It's $33 million, it's $33 million. I'll take $1 million a year for the next 33 years. I'll be 93, but I'll take it.
Sure.
But who are you going to get? That's the question. I think Kentucky fan and some Kentucky radio people believe that the next head coach in Lexington is going to be Scott Drew.
Yep.
I think they believe it. By the way, nice bow out yesterday, Baylor, losing to Clemson. He has won a title. Guess who else has won a title? John Calipari. I mean, we forget. And I understand you want a culture change. This is what I hear from Kentucky fans for the last 5 years. One and done does not work anymore. You know what? You're right. You're right. One and done never worked. It worked once for Kentucky. It worked for Jim Boeheim when he had Carmelo Anthony. When else has it worked? The Fab Five? Well, they got to the championship, but they didn't finish the deal.
They were all freshmen?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
You kidding? Chris Webber, Ray King, Jalen Rose.
Yeah, I know who they are. I didn't realize they were all freshmen.
I mean, who's done it? He did it, and now he sticks with it. Who would you rather have come into the program? And keep this in mind. He had Antonio Reeves. He had Trey Mitchell. Two fifth-year guys. You brought in Reed Sheppard, who nobody ever expected to be as good as he was. DJ Wagner, one of the top players in high school. Aaron Bradshaw, one of the top players in high school. Rob Dillingham, one of the top players in high school. Do you want him to not bring these guys in? You got to have a mix. I get that. Look at Houston. They got a guy who was on Baylor's championship team as a freshman. Now he's leading the way for Houston. You have to have – look what happened to Purdue last year with two freshman guards. Freshman guards. What are they this year? They are much more experienced. Braden Smith's playing great. Zach Edey came back. It is now a veteran team. Kaufman Wren, is he a sophomore now? Was he a freshman last year?
I think a redshirt sophomore, yeah.
Okay. So, again, they were young last year except for Edey. Veteran teams. Danny Hurley wins the title. Guys leave. He goes out and gets other guys. Klingon's back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But some of these other guys, transfer portal. Couple of freshmen. You got to have a mix. And I think Cal is learning that maybe later than most coaches do, but he's learning that. That's why he brought Reeves in last year. That's why he brought Mitchell in this year. You got to have some dudes in there that are going to stand up to the 25-year-old dudes that are on other teams.
Right.
18, 19-year-old guys, that's hard for them, man. That is hard for them. So, by the way, Lexington Herald Leader, did you see that this morning?
The Calipari with a K?
Calipari with a K.
Yeah.
Now, it's not the...
That's embarrassing.
It's the editor's fault. It's for not sure. The writer's fault. Keep that in mind.
It's both.
Calipari with a K, right on the front page. It does. How was the show this morning, Friday, by the way, the Earl of the Boys?
Friday, I do not want to discuss. It was not a fun 2 hours of radio. This morning, much better.
Who talked TJ off the bridge on Thursday night? Because he was ready to jump, I bet.
Yeah, still on Friday morning, it was the same.
Are they calmed down today?
They were calmed down today, yeah. Still a lot to discuss. I mean, it's an ever-moving situation. And that's the thing is I don't believe there's going to be a change.
There's not going to
be a change. So much of the fan base just believes that's going to happen. And for what? I mean, I'm kind of with you. Not so much on who you're going to get, but Cal has done a fantastic job, and it's hard to win a national championship in college.
If there's a change, it's because Calipari agrees that there's going to be a change.
Yeah. I agree.
Because, and I don't think he wants to leave on that, on this note, St. Peter's followed by Oakland. I don't think he wants to leave like that.
Well, what it does, it Kentucky is susceptible to turn
into. It's
silly
to talk about, in my opinion.
They're going to turn into, if they fire Cal, they're going to turn into Indiana because you are letting the fan base decide what happens to your head coach.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And that's what Indiana's problem's been. The whole fan base thinks they can make the decisions, and that's not how it works.
The first question any AD has to ask himself when he considers letting a coach go, who am I going to get to replace this coach? And if you don't have the good answer, then there is no good answer. Yeah. You let him go. Now, when you're Louisville, it's different. 4 wins, 8 wins, you have no choice. You got to let him go. But when you're Kentucky and the guy came in second in the SEC this year, and I know the texter thinks the SEC stinks. I get it. But he came in second in the SEC. You won at Auburn. You won at Tennessee. And you laid an egg in the SEC tournament, and then you laid a big matzo ball in the NCAA tournament. That happens. Now, should it happen twice in 3 years? No, and I understand why you're upset about it. Get to the Final Four next year, and guess what? Nobody will remember this. And here's the other thing. If he leaves, does any of that class come back? Does Aaron Bradshaw come back? There's talk that Reed Shepard's going to come back. If Cal leaves, does Reed Shepard come back? All right, enough of that, because it's silly to talk about.
By the way, did you see the tweet this weekend about Reed Shepard and his jersey numbers?
I did not. Oh, he should change to his mom's?
Yeah, I think that would be legend stuff there.
That would be pretty cool.
It would be awesome.
All right, a lot of news and notes to get to. Baseball starts on Thursday. I'm Woo-hoo! Very excited. We'll talk a little more about the NCAA basketball tournament. All that and more. Final segment coming up, Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X. Anywhere you are. Welcome back. Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage. John Spears in studio. Scooter Dingus with me as always. Final segment on this Monday.
Woohoo.
March 25th. M&M Cartage Hotline's open, 384-1450. To join in on the conversation, 384-1450. Thorne's text line open as well, 502-414-1450. April 8th, we will be at Valley View Golf Club.
That's right.
That is a Monday?
Monday.
It's Eclipse Day.
Correct.
You know what's funny? I told my wife. I sound like it, don't I? Hey, April 8th, we're going to be doing a show from a golf course. It's because supposedly there's an eclipse. She goes, oh, yeah, Eclipse Day, April 8th.
Yep.
She knew all about Eclipse Day.
Everybody.
I have no idea.
Where have you been?
Is it on ESPN.com or CBSSports.com or Twitter?
Be. It's going to be a big deal. Anything. The lunar eclipse open.
We'll be there. I don't know how many of our shows are going to be live.
It'd be Roll Call, Hoosier Report, and you.
And no Rutherford?
No Rutherford.
He's too big for
his
britches are too big.
The eclipse and the event will be over by the time he gets ready to go on air. So.
Are we able to golf after the show?
I don't think
so. Because it's Monday. Are they dark on Monday?
Well, no, but they're having the lunar eclipse open. So
the hell is that?
That's
you play in the dark?
I don't really know. I know they have a glow ball shot in the dark, so maybe they take that shot when the
a lot of events that day.
Yeah.
At Valley View. So
giveaways, $2 Blue Moon drafts.
Who are we gonna have on here in the next couple weeks?
We'll have Jay Biggs.
Jay Biggs.
He is the club pro.
We'll have the club pro on, and he'll tell us all about it. And yeah. I'm excited about it. I didn't know anything about it. Solar eclipse, who cares? Kind of attitude. Now I'm excited.
Should be fun.
So April 8th, we will be out there. That is 2 weeks from today, as a matter of fact, for Eclipse Day. By the way, are we on YouTube yet?
Not yet.
All right. I saw a picture Friday of you and the boys. I guess it was looked like a Zoom call.
Oh, yeah. They take
pictures. And I thought, are they on YouTube?
No, not yet. Thank God for you. You didn't dress very nice today.
What are you talking about? I got my Big X shirt on.
It is a good-looking shirt.
Well, I got shorts on, but nobody can see that. Those are under the table.
You didn't fix your hair or anything.
As opposed to what other day? All right, some news and notes here. Kim Mulkey's upset, the LSU women's coach. Apparently there's going to be a
Why? Why is she upset? What's going on?
Expose Well, you mean this time last year?
Stop keeping us in the dark on this whole thing. There's a piece coming out. Nobody knows anything about it.
Nobody has any idea what's going to be in this piece.
Like, just release the piece.
And she's going to sue them. She's already suing this very, by the way, very well-respected journalist for, I guess, libel and defamation and all that sort of stuff. But she went off on it in her press conference before the Middle Tennessee game. I guess the game was yesterday, so she went off on Saturday. Have you ever seen the Saturday Night Live clip, Bill Hader as a 60 Minutes correspondent interviewing Melissa McCarthy, who is a women's coach?
I have not.
Do yourself a favor as soon as this show's over, and you out there listening, do it as well. Bill Hader, Melissa McCarthy, Saturday Night Live. Melissa McCarthy is a women's coach who does crazy things to her players in practice. They have it's like a Bobby Knight video from up high, and he's interviewing her. It's fantastically funny. And this Kim Mulkey thing came out, and everybody put it on Twitter. Hey, here's Kim Mulkey interviewing with 60 Minutes. Great. All right, the hip drop, the hip-hop tackle has been eliminated from the NFL.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
In other words, you can't sing and dance while you're tackling somebody. No, the hip drop tackle is now illegal. 15-yard penalty, unsportsmanlike conduct. So
what does that even mean?
If you're bringing a guy down, you can't grab him with his hips and haul him down from his hips. I understand the horse collar. I get that. How are you going to tackle these guys? How's anybody going to tackle Derrick Henry?
Okay, so
Saquon Barkley.
Let me get this straight, John. You can't tackle somebody by hitting their legs. You can't bring them down.
Well, that's quarterbacks. You can't hit quarterbacks in the leg. You can go down low to bring a guy down. You can't grab a guy and haul him down from behind by his hips. Now, that's a new rule just implemented. J.J. Watt texted out, when are we just going to finally put flags on these guys so we can tear them off for a tackle?
Seriously.
A number of NFL players, mostly defensive players, have sent out tweets to the effect of, so we're not going to get to play tackle football anymore. How are we supposed to tackle anybody? So the defensive players are very upset about it. This is the NFL. It's an offensive league. They want points. I'm betting all the overs in week one next week.
I mean, that's a good idea.
Can't tackle anybody. It's a touchdown.
It's so stupid. Like, we are so far from what football was at the beginning of its inception that, yeah, I mean, I would hate being a defensive player. How do I tackle? So do I just push them on the ground? Is that the only way I can tackle them now?
If you push them and they don't fall, it's a touchdown. And by the way, when they do ban the hip-hop tackle, I will quit watching football.
I'm with you, yeah.
If you can't dance when you're tackling somebody, I got a problem with that. Kentucky baseball is up to number 23 on Baseball America's poll. They took 2 of 3 at Missouri. I watched part of that game yesterday. They took 2 of 3 at Missouri this weekend. They're
5-1 in SEC.
20-4 they've started the season. And they're number 23. Cards lost 2 out of 3 at Wake Forest. They are not having a good season so far. Shohei Ohtani is supposed to speak, maybe while we're on right now. I'm not sure. He's supposed to talk this morning.
How's he going to do that without an interpreter?
I'm going to guess they have a different interpreter. All right, here's the thing that stinks about this whole thing. If I was a professional athlete, Scoots, and I wanted to gamble on some games, then I would get a buddy of mine and I would say, hey, bet these games for me. Mm-hmm. Pretty simple, right?
Yep.
Bet these games. Here's some money. Bet the game. So I have a sneaky suspicion that Shohei Ohtani was the one betting on this game. Because who's going to give this interpreter $1 million of credit?
Right.
Who's going to say, hey, we know you make $300,000 a year as an interpreter for the Dodgers, so we're going to give you a $1 million line of credit. Bet whoever you want. It's not likely. And the MLB is and this is a bookie. This is not, you know, Caesars Southern Indiana.
Right.
This is a bookmaker.
They're not a legal bookmaker.
They're not giving this guy a line of credit for $1 million. There are 2 wire transfers of money. There is a paper trail that Shohei Ohtani paid at least $1 million, $500,000 twice. to pay off what is allegedly the interpreter's debt. This stinks to high heaven.
Now, it was Ohtani's idea to speak, not the Dodgers.
Yes, and it says he is going to address the media. Now, is he going to take questions? That would be my first quandary.
I saw a funny post today. It was Ohtani and Mookie Betts standing right next to each other, like taking batting practice. Ohtani was listed first.
Oh, no.
Said Ohtani Betts. And it was right in front of our face the whole time.
Now, what if he comes clean in this interview today and says, you know what? Those were my bets. They were no baseball bets. This is not Pete Rose, okay?
It's not ideal for Major League Baseball.
But, boy, Major League Baseball's, they do not want this guy suspended.
I mean, think about all the issues that the Dodgers have had the last few years. You have the whole Trevor Bauer thing, the Julio Urias thing. Now this, I mean, it's not good.
That's not the Dodgers' fault.
That's true,
it's coincidental that it happens to be three guys on their team.
Yeah.
I imagine he's going to go up and say, look, I told him bet whatever you want. I'll pay it off and you can pay. By the way, is he going to pay Ohtani back? Because supposedly it's a loan. How's he going to pay Ohtani back?
Doesn't have a
job. Especially now he's unemployed.
Yeah.
He also had on his resume that he interpreted for the Red Sox. Red Sox came out this weekend, said, we never paid him a dime. We've gone through all of our paperwork. He's never been employed by the Boston Red Sox. So he's lying on his resume.
Mm-hmm.
George O'Leary got fired before he could coach one game at Notre Dame for lying on his resume. This situation stinks. And I think it stinks because Major League Baseball starts Thursday. Very excited.
Yeah, bad timing.
I'm excited for a great rest of the tournament, by the way. We've got unbelievable matchups. San Diego State and UConn, rematch of last year's championship game. Is that
right? That's true, yeah. I didn't think about that.
NC State Marquette, they played in the 1973 or 74 championship game.
I'm about to take your word for it.
Early 70s. Gonzaga Purdue, that's fun.
Tennessee Creighton should be a blast.
Alabama North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
First one to 100. Illinois, Iowa State, sneaky good. Duke, Houston. These are great games. By the way, overs 28, unders 26 in NCAA basketball tournament so far. I went through all that today to figure out what that was. What a waste of time. Thanks for listening. Tony Burke joins me in studio tomorrow. Spears on Sports presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X.